Thank you, Rabbi Shabtai. It was asked to talk about Inyanei Yom Yerushalayim today. Obviously, Yerushalayim is on our minds, not only because it's Yom Yerushalayim, but because of what's going on in Eretz Yisrael today, and our thoughts and tefillahs are with all the residents of Eretz Yisrael. I just saw earlier today a recent article, blog post, written by Rabbi Yitzchak Adlerstein, who noted that it seems we're at a point where Yom Yerushalayim has become the exclusive domain of the Dati Lumi community in Eretz Yisrael, to the exclusion of both the secular community and the more Haredi community. Just brought to mind an essay written by Rav Sraya Dublitsky, who passed away a couple years ago. This essay was written in 1968. Rav Dublitsky was a member of Kol HaChazanish, was close to the Chazanish in his youth, and a very prominent posek, Mekubal, author of many interesting svarim, Sovas Machos on Shehil Chashav Baruch, is probably the most famous, but a lot of his material is coming out now posthumously. Not someone who anyone would identify per se with the Dati Lumi community by any stretch. But he wrote this essay, which was reprinted in a volume called Yom Ha'atzmaut V'Yom Yerushalayim. The title is Kviyas Yom Hodaya L'Achar Milchemes Sheshes Hayamim, in which he bemoans the fact, writing 1 year after Shechur Yerushalayim, that there hasn't been a more robust embrace across the whole spectrum of the Orthodox community of observing Yom Yerushalayim as a day of Hodaya to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the Nes that we experienced in 1967. He writes that there's ample precedent in halacha and Jewish practice for having such a day of commemoration. He notes the existence in many communities of Purim Katans. He knows, for example, one of the more famous Purim Katans was the Purim of Frankfurt, which the Chasam Sofer himself observed even after he left Frankfurt and became the Rav in Pressburg. He notes that this whole Purim of Frankfurt was celebrated because of a pogrom that never happened. And that was the salvation of the Jews of Frankfurt. So Kol Shekein, the Nisan that were experienced in 1967 far outshone anything experienced by the Jews of Frankfurt at the time that led to their establishment of Purim of Frankfurt. And he thinks that definitely should be Mechayev for a day of Hodaya. He finds it incomprehensible, he finds it difficult to understand why this hasn't been more robustly embraced. He says he finds it difficult to believe that there were two notices published in Hamodia, in the organ of Agudas Yisrael, in he writes that notice is published by Rabbani Chutz Laretz that you're not allowed to create new minhagim, v'chagim chadashim, and new holidays under these circumstances, under any circumstances. So Dublitsky writes, how can you call a minhag yisrael b'chol dor v'dor of making a Purim Katan and the like, creating a new holiday or a new minhag? Do they forget all the Purims that were established throughout centuries of Jewish life in the Galus? The fact that the Rabbanut HaRashit created such a day is only on the basis of this long history of smaller Purim Katans. Even saying Hallel is what to justify. He says this is not the forum to discuss whether or not to say Hallel, but whether or not you say Hallel, the notion of a day of Simcha and Oidah is totally in place. So he writes that in coming years, again writing in 1968, it's critical that all sectors of Torah Jewry unite to observe Yom Yerushalayim as a day of Hodaya. Rav Schechter likes to point out that in the Chidar wrote a work called Shem HaGedolim, which is mini biographies, two sections. One, mini biographies of all the Gedolim that came before him, and number two, mini biographies or write-ups about the different svarim that these gedolim wrote. The Chidah Shli wrote, the Shem Chidah wrote, I believe, 84 svarim. He lived to be 84, and he wrote 84 svarim in his 84 years of life. Just like I think Dr. Twersky, who just passed away in his 90s, wrote one book for every year that he was alive. The Chidah wrote 84 svarim in 84 years. So one of them is the Shem Gedolim, which he wrote when he was in quarantine. The Chidah traveled. He was he's from Chevron, from Eretz Yisrael. He traveled extensively in Europe to raise money for the Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael. He visited many libraries. He found many manuscripts and published a lot having to do with his travels. But when he entered Italy at one point, he had to quarantine for 40 days because they were concerned about disease coming in from outside the country. So they had a quarantine system. He had to stay in a certain house for 40 days. So he wrote the Shema Gedolim when he was in quarantine for 40 days. There's a misnomer or a misimpression that people had based on a comment of the Chidah related to that quarantine that was heavily disseminated the beginning of this COVID period a year ago, which is quoted by the Shaarei Teshuvah and Shulchan Aruch, that the discussion relevant to outdoor minyanim, that what does it take to be mitzarif people in different rooms, in different houses, if they could hear each other. So as part of that discussion, the Chidah had a line that he was willing to be makel in terms of tzira for a minyan under certain circumstances, that you shouldn't go 40 days without reciting Kaddish and Kedusha. The case was that in this quarantine house, there were a few Jews in one house, a few Jews in another house, four and six, so they weren't in the same room, but they could hear each other. Is that enough for tzir for minyan? So you had this line, you shouldn't go 40 days without reciting Kaddish Kedusha. So I heard a lot of people quote this as saying that you shouldn't go 40 days without some halacha, some special thing, not to go 40 days without reciting Kaddish Kedusha. So during the time that all the shuls were closed, some people were saying we have to figure out how we get one Kaddish and not to go 40 days without Kaddish Kedusha. But what the Chidah meant, the Mitzias was that he was in quarantine for 40 days. So in that situation, he said, go 40 days this whole time without Kaddish Kedusha. There's something magical about 40 days. But be that as it may, so the Chidah wrote the Shema Gedolim when he was in quarantine on the way into Italy. So he writes that the Rambam discovered the Sefer Torah Miyuchas to Ezra Sofer on Kaf Ches Iyar, and he made that into a family yunta for him going forward. And the day that he discovered the Sefer Torah that was Miyuchas to Ezra Sofer, and realized that his whole Nesara was correct. It was corroborated by the Sefer Torah that was Miyuchas to Ezra Sofer. So Schechter says that that's the message of Yerushalayim, that things were going in the right direction. And the fact that all the Nisan that took place in 1967 took place as is, that was an indication that we're heading in the right direction and therefore justifies a yontif. I just came across recently also a comment of Rav Nevinsal in his Sichot, the Sefer Bamidbar. This is printed in Sicha Gimel. So he quotes from Rav Nachum Perchavitz, Rosh Yeshiva of the Mir, that according to his calculation, the war against Amalek in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu took place on Kaf Ches Iyar. Now, how you get that cheshbon is a little bit unclear. If, apparently in Seder Olam Rab, it says that they got to refeed them on Kaf Beis. So how do you know that took place in Kaf Ches? Not so clear. There's an essay written by the author of the Mishmar HaLevi that says that can't be that that this is correct. And the Rosh Yeshiva couldn't have said this. But be that as it may, Rav Nevinsal thinks there's something to the fact that there was a Milchemes Amalek on Kaf Ches Iyar. And he notes that there's a Pirkei Reb Elazar. He notes that Moshe Rabbeinu says, "B'charlanu an Hashem, b'tzei yilachem b'amalek, machar nachin nitzava rosh ha-geva." The reference is, Moshe Rabbeinu is going to be standing on the top of the mount. What's ha-geva, the mound? That sounds like it's a mound that we know about. Hey, ayidiya. So he thinks, based on an Ari HaKadosh, that Har HaMoriah accompanied Bnei Yisrael through the Midbar. And that was a reference to Har HaMoriah. Rosh HaGevah is Gematria of Yerushalayim. So the Milchames HaMalek and Moshe Rabbeinu was standing on Har HaMoriah happened on Kaf Ches Iyar. So you take it or leave it, whether that's of any significance or verifiable. With Menachem Mendel Kasher has a sefer called Tkufa Gedola. Half of the sefer reprinted the work that was miyuchas to the Talmud Gra called Kol Hator, which has to do with the coming of the Gula. Some claim that Rabbi Kasher affords it, but it seems to be pretty clear that it's an authentic work. And at the beginning, he has a series of essays that he entitled Tkufa Gedola. It was mostly about the 48 war. He has a few chapters about the 67 war as well. He reprinted all the kolkores from all the gedolim at the time in 49 when they had the first elections, endorsing the first and only ever joint religious slate between the Mizrahi and the Aguda. So he has one chapter in that work, Tkufa Gedola, in which he discusses, the Shaul asked him that some people had tainas on the Israeli army when they reconquered Yerushalayim in 1967, that there should have been a chiyuv of netitzas avodah zarah, chiyuv to destroy any avodah zarah that they came across in the context of their conquest. I presume the avodah zarah that they're talking about is of the church, not of of any pagan religions being practiced in Yerushalayim at the time. So what is the geder of the chiyuv of netitzas avodah zarah in Eretz Yisrael, of destroying any avodah zarah that you come across? And were chayilei tzahal in violation of this requirement to eradicate avodah zarah as part of their conquest? So the Rambam writes, I apologize for not having prepared Mar Makomos to share with you today, so you just have to bear with me. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, the beginning of Perek Zayin, that there's a mitzvah saseh to eradicate all Avodah Zarah, based on the pasuk in Parshas Re'eh, Abdei to Abedun, as called Makomos, you must surely destroy all these places of Avodah Zarah. The Rambam writes, Eretz Yisrael, mitzvah lirdof achareha. In Eretz Yisrael, you have to proactively run after, seek out Avodah Zarah, you have to proactively search for avodah zarah and eradicate avodah zarah from the land, as opposed to chutz la'aretz, where there's no mitzvah to run after it if you stumble across it. If you conquer an area of chutz la'aretz, so then you have to eradicate the avodah zarah there. But in Eretz Yisrael, there's a special mitzvah of actually running after avodah zarah. This is quoted in Shulchan Aruch, Yoredeya Simen Kuf Mem Vav Seif Yudalid, Yoredeya Simen Kuf Mem Vav Seif Yudalid. Mitzvah Kala Mosei Avodas Kochavim Sheyivar Renevi Avdenu. There's a mitzvah, anyone who finds Avodah Zarah needs to burn it, needs to destroy it. Ketz Bavara, how do you literally burn it? How do you destroy it? Sholchi Vizor the Ruach, you grind it up and you throw it out into the wind. Omatul Yam, you throw it into the sea. Based on the Pasuk, Abed to Abdut. And the Gra points out there in Sifkat and Kaf that the difference in practice between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz is that in Eretz Yisrael, you have to seek out Avodah Zarah even if it's in a place that you didn't conquer. Anywhere there's Avodah Zarah in Eretz Yisrael, you have to seek it out, as opposed to Chutz La'aretz, where you only have to seek it out in a place that you conquer. But Evan agrees, even Chutz La'aretz and Koshukan in Eretz Yisrael, when you're actually conquering, then you should have to eradicate Avodah Zarah. So the Shaul to Rabbi Kasher asked, how is it that the soldiers of the Israeli army didn't endeavor to go on a search and destroy mission to eradicate any Avodah Zarahs in Yerushalayim? So Rav Kasher notes that the Sefer Chinuch has the following important qualification. Sefer Chinuch in Mitzvah Tav Lamed Vav writes, Mitzvah leinu la'abed shem avodah zarah, la'abed sham avodah zarah, im yesh koach bi'adenu. So you have to eradicate avodah zarah as well if we have the ability to do so. Aval ein anu chayavin lirdof achareihem la'avda el Eretz Yisrael. You only have to run after it to destroy it in Eretz Yisrael. Bizman she'adenu tkifa al ovdeh. When we have the upper hand over the avodah zarah worshippers in Eretz Yisrael. So Rabbi Kasher writes that even though we took over all of Yerushalayim in 1967, it wasn't a situation of Yadenu Tekifa. It's not that we had full control Because any such action to destroy relics of other religions would not be tolerated by, or not have been tolerated well by the international community. And there wasn't a political climate that could have justified taking such action. International law protects religious sites. And there potentially could have been much stronger negative ramifications against the Jews in Eretz Yisrael and around the world had Tzahal taken a more aggressive action against any such Avodah Zarahs. Rabbi Kasher thinks that the source of this distinction of the chinuch, that the mitzvah of eradicating Avodah Zarah is only where Yadenu Tkifa, is only where we have the upper hand. So that may be based on another Rambam, the Rambam in Perek Yud Avodah Zarah, Halacha Vav, as far as the pasuk of Lo Yeshivu Bartzach, you're not supposed to allow Ovdei Avodah Zarah to dwell in Eretz Yisrael, and that the Rambam says is only the Yadenu Tkufa, only Tkifa, only when we have the upper hand, when we have the authority, when we have the political ability to dictate who gets to live in Eretz Yisrael. So then we're supposed to exclude Ovdei Avodah Zarah from living in the land. The Rebbe Kasher thinks that the same is true when it comes to Abet Abdun, that the responsibility of eradicating Avodah Zarah is predicated on the political climate and on our ability to have a full jurisdiction without being concerned about negative reactions by other constituencies. So even if we had physical control of Yerushalayim in 1967 and post-1967, that didn't give us license, even if we wanted to eradicate any potential Avodah Zarahs. Okay. One of the other issues that came up in the aftermath of the Six-Day War, and still relevant nowadays, is going up to the Har HaBayis. So that's a much broader discussion than we have time to address today, as to whether, if, where, when, how, ever, is it appropriate to go up to any part of Har HaBayis. For our purposes, suffice it to say that the position of the Rabbanut and the consensus position is that in practice, no one should be going up to Har HaBayis at all. But the issue that came up in the immediate aftermath of the Six-Day War was the status of Chayalim and Har HaBayis, the necessity, as you see all the pictures today, of having a presence on Har HaBayis for security purposes. So what kind of precautions do Chayalim need to take if they are on duty on Har HaBayis? So the first article, or one of the first articles that addresses, was written by Rabbi Shilo Raphael, the Rav of Kriyat Moshe in Yerushalayim, printed in Moriah in 1972. So one of the issues discussed is what dress is required in Har HaBayis. Wearing shoes or not wearing shoes on Har HaBayis. So the Rambam writes in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, Perek Zayin, Halacha Beis, that what is considered Yiras HaMikdash, Mora HaMikdash, Ezohi Yiraso, Lo Yikanes Adam Lahar HaBayis, B'maklo O B'menalo, Shevaraglav. You're not allowed to walk into Har HaBayis with your walking stick, with your shoes on, O B'apendas, or your money belt, B'avik Shel Raglav, with dirt on your feet, Obimos, or coins that are tied to your sash. Ain't Sarach Lomish Asir Larok B'chal HaBayis, and not allowed to spit anywhere on Har HaBayis, and you can't make Har HaBayis into a shortcut. So that's a discussion. What are the parameters of the Isser of wearing shoes on Har HaBayis? Is it the same as Yom Kippur? That at least according to most Rishonim, based on the sugya in Yevamos and Daf Kuf Beis, on Yom Kippur you can't wear a leather shoe, but other forms of foot coverings may be permissible. Is the same thing true on Har HaBayis in the Makom HaMikdash, or should you not wear anything on your feet? Is that the Kohanim perform the avodah without anything on their feet? That's a chatzitza halacha. That's not necessarily mishum mara mikdash. There can't be anything between the body of the kohen and the floor. So as far as chatzitza, what about shal nalacha me'al reglecha? So if you're in a makom kodesh, are you not allowed to have anything on your feet? or is a geder similar to Yom Kippur? The Minchas Chinuch writes in Mitzvah Reish Nun Dalet Os Beis, Mitzvah Reish Nun Dalet Os Beis, that he thinks it's the same geder. That whatever is considered a nal for chalitza purposes, whatever is considered a nal for a Yom Kippur, that's the nal that you can't wear on Har Habayis in the Makom HaMikdash. And that's what Rav Yechiel Michal Tokachinsky writes in Ir HaKodesh VaMikdash in Chelek Dalet, that only shoes made out of leather are Asar and Har Habayis, just like on Yom Kippur, according to most Rishonim. The Kohanim had to be barefoot B'Shas Avoda, but there wasn't a halacha in Mikdash, there was a halacha in Avoda. So Rabbi Shilo Raphael writes in this article that even though it's the case that minimally you're not supposed to be wearing leather shoes on Har Habayis, but if you're engaged in Shmirah, you're engaged not in the halacha Shmiras HaMikdash of the Levium or the Kohanim, but you're engaged in protecting the area for the state of Israel. So a soldier, if he's walking around in slippers, is not going to be able to perform his function optimally. So he assumes that as far as the necessity of Shmiras HaMikdash in the protection sense, you have to wear shoes in order to be able to operate optimally. A question on the chat. Does maintaining a Jewish presence allow some kind of hatchet to go up to Har Habayis? That's the argument of those that push for doing it. There was a sefer written a few years ago espousing this point. I forget the name of the sefer, in which the author argued exactly that point. But many assume there are many other potentially big issues that doesn't necessarily justify. It's not really going to focus on that today. Maybe a different time. Other issue that came up is the status of the Kosel Hamaravi. So there's a famous Tshuva Radvaz that everyone quotes. Tshuva Saradvaz, Chelik Dei Simen Tav Reish Memches, Chelik Dei Simen Tav Reish Memches. Saradvaz was a contemporary of the Beis Yosef, who lived in Egypt and then in Eretz Yisrael. So he assumes that the Kosel Maravi is the Kosel Hazara. It's actually part of the Beis HaMikdash proper. And Rabbi Chil Michal Tokachinsky in his sefer Yer Kodesh VaMikdash writes that the Chai Adam seems to assume like this Radvaz, as did Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer, the author of the Drishas Tzion, the Talmud of Rabbi Kubeger, who was the proponent of being the Chadesh, the Avoda in the Makom HaMikdash at the time that he wrote, one of the forerunners of what you might call religious Zionism. And Rav David Friedman, the Shailas David as well. So Rav Chaim Michal Tokachinsky writes that they all assumed like this Radvaz. But Rav Chaim Michal Tokachinsky quotes eight rayas against the Radvaz, that the Radvaz is not correct. And that's what most assume as a historical point, that the Kosel Maravi is not part of the, it's not the Kosel Hazara, it's the Kosel of Har Habayis. There's a wall around the Har Habayis, and therefore does not have the status of being part of the Makom HaMikdash. That's potentially relevant to the question of, one second, sorry, potentially relevant to touching the Kosel. So something that if we're choshish for the Radvaz, that it's part of the Kosel Azara, then maybe you shouldn't touch the Kosel. And that's what the Sefer Mishkanos Avir Yaakov is machmiran, not to touch even the wall of Har Habayis. He has a diuk in the Rambam, Bias Mikdash, to that effect. Rabbi Chil Michal Tokachinsky points out that for a tame to come into the area of the Makom HaMikdash, lo yavo al ha-machaneh, so he can't enter. But touching the wall, even if there was a kosel azara, he thinks would be mutter. Now, even if you assume that there is kedusha to the kosel maravi, even if you assume like the Radvaz, it would presumably still be mutter to use the shade of the kosel, to stand in the shade and benefit from the shade, because that's not considered to be derech hana'asa. That's not the normal way of getting benefit, even though you can benefit from, if it were to be the kosel azara, arguably benefit from that directly. The Gemara has in Psachim and Daf Kavav that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai would sit and darshan in the tzel heichal, in the shade of the heichal in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, it could be that was only the tzarech mitzvah, that he was giving a shir, so maybe then it's mutter, but stam to benefit from the shade, maybe not. Question of leaning. So is that considered hishtamshus shelo litzorech? Is that a violation of mikdashi tiro to lean on part of the area of the Beis HaMikdash? So that these are some of the issues discussed in the context of the kosa. What about kedushas Yerushalayim nowadays? And not talking about kedushas harbayis of the Makom HaMikdash, but is there relevance to kedushas Yerushalayim? And that is potentially connected to a Gemara in Bava Kamma. I'm sorry, the Gemara in Bava Kamma Daf Pei Beis has 10 halachos that are relevant to Yerushalayim. Asara Dvar Namru B'Yerushalayim. There are 10 halachas that are relevant to Yerushalayim. Eina Bayis Kalutba, that you can't have Saras in a, sorry, that that the din of Bate Yari Chome that we leaned about in last week's Sedra, that city houses in a walled city go out in Yovel year, that doesn't apply to Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim doesn't bring an egla rufa. It can't be an irni dachas. It can't be metame tumas nagayim. You can't have a garbage dump in Yerushalayim. You can't grow chickens in Yerushalayim. Emalina bas a mace. You can't leave a mace overnight in Yerushalayim. There's a more stringent isra of alenas a mace in Yerushalayim than in the rest of the world. So is any of this relevant to Yerushalayim bisman hazeh? What's the status of Kedushas Yerushalayim Bisman Hazeh? So the Rambam writes in Beis HaBechira Perek Vav Halacha Yudal Talacha Tesvav that just like the Rambam holds by Kedushas Mikdash Kishel Hashayta Kishel Asalava, just like the Kedushas HaMikdash that existed in the time of the Beis HaMikdash never left after the Chorban, so too Kedushas Yerushalayim is Kishel Hashayta Kishel Asalava. The Kedusha of Yerushalayim as a city also was preserved even post-Chorban. And the Ravid argues. So if you assume like the Rambam, that there is Kedusha Yerushalayim, is that in any way relevant l'maisa? So in Evan Ezer, Simon Ayin Hay Sif Dalid, Evan Ezer, Simon Ayin Hay Sif Dalid. So there the Shulchan Aruch talks about the din on the end of Ksubis. The din on the end of Ksubis is Akol Ma'alin Yerushalayim. That if you have a husband and wife and they're fighting over where to live, the husband wants to move to Yerushalayim and the wife wants to stay in Tel Aviv, the husband wins. And if the wife doesn't come along, then he's entitled to give her a get and she's not entitled to collect her ksuba. That if one spouse wants to go to Yerushalayim, then that spouse wins. So the fact that it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch as Halacha L'maisa, sounds like that's relevant even nowadays, that Yerushalayim has a special status as far as that halacha of a kol ma'al in Yerushalayim, that one spouse can insist on moving to Yerushalayim, so Yerushalayim has that status even bisman hazeh. If you look in the Tshuva of the Tashbetz, Chela Gimel Simen Reish, Tashbetz was one of the later Spanish Rishonim that ended up in North Africa. Tashbetz was in North Africa. Chela Gimel Simen Reish, 1400s, that in Eretz Yisrael, There's both Kedushas Shechina and there's Kedushas Mitzvahs. And Eretz Yisrael as a whole, the land of Eretz Yisrael. So there are two types of Kedusha. There's Kedusha because Eretz Yisrael is the place where the Shechina resides. And there's Kedusha because there are Mitzvahs HaTuliyas Baris. There are Mitzvahs that you can only perform in Eretz Yisrael. So he writes that the din, the Gemara and the Ksubas has two halachas. Number one, kofin to make aliyah to move to Eretz Yisrael. And even if you're in Eretz Yisrael, kofin to move to Yerushalayim, you could force a move to Yerushalayim. So the first halacha, he says, the fact that you can force a move to Eretz Yisrael, that's a function of the Kedushas HaMitzvahs. The reason that you could force your wife to go with you to Eretz Yisrael is not because of the Kedushas HaShechina, not because Eretz Yisrael is where the Shechina resides. What does that have to do with you? It's because Eretz Yisrael has more mitzvah potential. So you have the right to insist to move to a land where you have the potential to fulfill more mitzvahs. So he explains that just as that's the reason that Kofin Lalos Eretz Yisrael, that's also the reason of Kofin Lalos to Yerushalayim. Because Yerushalayim also isn't just Kedushas HaShechina, but it's Kedushas HaMitzvahs. And those mitzvahs that we just read about in Bava Kama Pei Beis, that's relevant to Yerushalayim as well. So writes the Tashbeis in the 1400s. And therefore, if you're ready in Eretz Yisrael, you could force your wife to go to Yerushalayim because Yerushalayim has an exalted status as far as mitzvahs. Question on the chat, is Yerushalayim of today much larger than it was in the time of Shulchan Aruch? And Yerushalayim at the time of Shulchan Aruch was larger than it was in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. So arguably, Kedushas Yerushalayim is limited to the Yerushalayim of, at least by his Sheni, of the time when the Kedusha was invested and not the expanded Yerushalayim. That is correct. So that's what the Tashbeis assumes, that the reason Kofid Lalos to Yerushalayim is because of the exalted mitzvah status of Yerushalayim, not because of Kedusha Sashchina per se. So in the Sefer Har HaKodesh, he raises the following question on this Tashbeis. If it's the fact that the din of HaKol Ma'al Yerushalayim, you can force your spouse to come with you to Yerushalayim, is predicated on Kiyum HaMitzvos, and the Tashbeis references the Gemara in Bava Kama Pei Beis. One second. All the examples are the majority of examples in Bava Kama Pei Beis are essentially lo saseis, things that you can't do. You don't do an egla rufa. There's no tsaras. There's no din of redeeming bat hayari choma. Eim alin and sameis. So where are the extra mitzvahs there? These are all things that we don't do, things that are not relevant in Yerushalayim because Yerushalayim has a certain status, but these are essentially lo saseis, or things that we don't do, not kiyume mitzvah. So he says it must be that when it comes to Alana Sameis, there's an added iser, an added takana, not to leave a mace over in Yerushalayim overnight. So if you have a mace in Yerushalayim and you don't leave it overnight, that's considered to be a kiyum mitzvah sase, or the kiyum of that takana, not that zera, not to leave a mace over in Yerushalayim overnight. But he points out in the Sefer Pa'asa Shulchan, which is written by Talmud Agra, mitzvah satluyos ba'aretz. So he says not the Tashbeis. He says that the din of Malin is a function of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael and Yishuv Yerushalayim. Not because there are more mitzvahs to perform in Eretz Yisrael, not because there are more mitzvahs to perform in Yerushalayim, but because there's a mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. So the reason you can force your spouse to make Aliyah is because of the mitzvahs Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. And that's what the Chasan Sofer writes. So it's not a function of mitzvahs. It's a function of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. And there's an element of Yishuv Yerushalayim as well that you should settle Yerushalayim. He says that's why the Ravid doesn't argue on the din of HaKol Malin. The Ravid argues on the Rambam and Hilchos Beis HaBechira that there's no Kedushas Yerushalayim these days. But the Ravid doesn't argue that there's a din of HaKol Ma'al and there's a Sosol HaKol Ma'al in Yerushalayim. It doesn't argue that you're allowed to force your spouse to move with you to Yerushalayim. It must be the Ravid held. It's not a function of Kedusha. It's a function of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael or Yishuv Yerushalayim. And Yishuv Eretz Yisrael applies even if there is no Kedusha. Okay. There's a psak in the Piskei Din Rabbanim, Chelek Yudalit, page 208, about this case, someone who wanted to insist that his wife move with him to Yerushalayim. He says that even if you assume the Bali Tosis quote, the position of Reb Chaim Cohn, that there's no chiyuv of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael nowadays. We don't force anyone to go to Eretz Yisrael nowadays, essentially because either it's dangerous or because we don't have the ability of fulfilling all the mitzvot hatuliyos ba'aretz anyway. So in the Piskei Din Rabbanim, they point out that that's true as far as moving from Eretz Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael. So you could argue you can't force your spouse to make aliyah because maybe Mrs. Yishuv Eretz Yisrael isn't what it used to be. But if you're already living in Eretz Yisrael and you want to move to Yerushalayim, so you're already living there, Eretz Yisrael, so then everyone should agree that you have the zchus to be kofet to move to Yerushalayim. The only question they raise is a question raised here a few minutes ago. That's probably only biblical Eretz Yisrael or Mishneh or Eretz Yisrael in the time of the Bayis Sheni, at least. The area that you know was Malkam and Mikta, Malkam Yerushalayim, Bayis Risha, and Bayis Sheni, but all the new neighborhoods, that presumably doesn't have that level of Kedushas Yerushalayim or the status of Yerushalayim as far as the din of Hakol Malit. So maybe it can't be Kofet. Or maybe they quote the Navi Zechariah. Zechariah promises that the borders of Yerushalayim will be expanded. So maybe that makes it considered part of Yerushalayim for this matter also. So they leave that as a Tzarech Ian, whether there is a possibility of invoking the din of a Kol Malin Yerushalayim, even in the newer areas of Yerushalayim that are clearly not part of Eretz Yisrael, of Yerushalayim, Bimei Bayis Sheni. But in the Otzar HaPoskim, they quote from the Hagos of the Sefer Har Kodesh, that according to the Tashbates, that the din of a Kol Malin Yerushalayim is predicated on Kiyumei Mitzvos, then it should be clear that it's only relevant in the old Yerushalayim, but not in the new neighborhoods, because that's the only area of Yerushalayim that has that Kedusha and has that status of the mitzvahs of Yerushalayim. If it's based on settling Yerushalayim, so settling Yerushalayim arguably could even apply to the expanded neighborhoods of Yerushalayim, which are a continuation, a continuous settlement from the old Yerushalayim to new Yerushalayim, that's Bechazik, the Yishuv Yerushalayim, and maybe it would apply to those neighborhoods as well. Okay, looks like we are out of time. Maybe you can force your wife to live in Ir David, but not in Rechavia. Right. Okay, it was a pleasure spending the last 12 weeks with you. Maybe one of these years you'll invite me down to come meet you in person. It'd be my pleasure if circumstances allow. And everyone should continue in good health.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Fascinating, and continue to do the good work you're doing.
Thank you so much.
Yashko Chacha, thank you very much.
Pleasure.